today. I'm not sure how it's going to go yet. On July the 4th, 1776, in Congress of these 13 colonies, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America was given out. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask for help and guidance as you open up your word. And let us understand freedom today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain and unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their own powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter, to abolish it, and institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them such seem most likely to affect the safety, happiness, prudence, and indeed will dedicate the governments long established should not be changed for the light of a transcendent cause, and authoritatively all experience has shown that mankind are far more disposed to suffer while the evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing these forms which they are accustomed. But when a long trend of abuse and usurpations pursuing inevitable the same object invites a design to reduce them under the absolute disposition, it is the right and is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient suffering of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to be altered their former system of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injustice, usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of the absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let the facts be submitted to the candid world. And there is a large list of facts that they declared that day. The last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, before all the signatures. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the restitute of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of the right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown and all policies connected between them and the state of Great Britain, is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that it is free and independent states that have full power to levy war, to conclude peace, to contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may have the right of. stand for the support of this declaration with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. That you can be found just about anywhere on the internet. This first paragraph in the Declaration of Independence states that God is the God of nature. The second paragraph again bases its statements on God. All of mankind is created equal by the Creator. Therefore, the entire human race is endowed with certain unalienable rights by the Creator. And that these truths are self-evident, are their facts. They can be seen by anyone that looks at them. Well, when we look at endowed and unalienable, or not to be alienated from, those are words we don't use too much today. The last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence states that God is the supreme judge of the world. One of the major reasons that these 13 colonies declared their independence from the British crown and the king that was trying to stop these God-given rights. America is without doubt a God-given land that was bought with blood. America was declaring its independence from the British and its king, but not from God. God is the only being who can be perfectly independent. Unalienable rights that our Creator has endowed us with. Unalienable. In other words, alienated. These rights cannot be made or become alien to us or foreign to us. These are rights that are endowed by our Creator. They are put in us. They are part of our creation. When God made this world and He made man, He made the first man and woman, He endowed them with certain rights. He put certain rights into them from the Creator. And because they come from God, they cannot be alienated. They cannot be taken away from us. Why do we call something an alien? Because it's not of us. It's another planet. It's foreign. It's strange. It's not like us. It doesn't have fingers and heads and ears and all that other stuff. You know, it's strange to us. Well, these rights are endowed in us by the Creator God. And these original 13 colonies realized that. And they said they are part of our creation. And they are rights that we have that cannot be taken away from us because those rights came from the Creator and those rights were put in us. Now, it said in the pursuit of happiness, some of the rights, some of them that they mentioned was life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is some of them. That is not all of the routes that the rights that God gave us. One of the most powerful rights that God gave us is free will. Our freedom to choose. With the freedom to choose, you have the freedom to choose right. You have the freedom to choose wrong. You have the right to be wrong. God gave you that privilege. But you don't have the right to decide what the consequences will be of whatever decisions you make, right or wrong. In England, they were forced to worship the Church of England. They came here to be free to worship how they choose. You can choose the right way or you can choose the wrong way. But you have the right to choose. You can choose to obey the laws of the land or you can choose not to obey the laws of the land. But you can't choose what's going to happen once you make that choice. God is so amazing. We're going to be in Joshua. I figured that out now. Joshua, the latter part of Joshua. God is so amazing and so great. He tells us what will happen with the decisions we make. Now in Joshua chapter 23 and chapter 24, the last two chapters of the book of Joshua, God tells us, if you do this, I will do this. If you don't do this, I will do this. If you go this way, this will happen. If you go this way, this will happen. God can tell you what's going to happen. God can tell you what's going to happen whichever path you take. And God is always 100% right every time without fail. He would make a great weatherman. He is always right. And God makes this plan very simple and very easy to understand. So why is it so hard to do what's right? If you do this, this is going to happen. If you go this way, this is going to happen. These 13 colonies laid down their life. Many of those that signed the Declaration, you go look at their lives, they lost all of their possessions. The way they fought back in those days was a little crazy. One group would line up over here. One group would line up over here. In the middle of a field, and just start shooting at each other. Now then, they brought in the guerrilla-type warfare into the Civil War. And that's one of the things that won the war. They changed the way things are fought. And World War I. They used to have those ditches, and they'd go in those ditches, those trenches, and they did the same thing. They'd just bunch them and jump up and start charging. The other guys start shooting at them. Then it became the machine gun, and that changed a lot of how they fought. War. Now these guys sit back and work these controls in a whole other part of the world from an airplane that doesn't have anybody in it and shoots missiles. But war has changed, but it's still war. And people still die. Fighting for freedom. Fighting for the freedom to make free will choices. Well, Jesus came and fought a battle on Calvary. And he laid down his life in blood to give us an option to be free. It was a battle. The battle has been won. The victory is settled. We know who won. We know who's going to be in charge, and we know what's going to happen. So you have to decide which team you want to be on. In Joshua chapter 23 and 24, this is kind of, if you remember the story, the Hebrew children wound up in Egypt. Joseph, coat of many colors, because there was a famine in the land. Well, they was there for some 400 years. They started populating and populating. And it started getting hard for them in Egypt. Persecution, new Pharaoh, all the things started getting hard for them. They didn't like it. They start calling out to God. God calls Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Caleb, some of those men. And they go and they bring the Hebrew children out of Egypt. 40 years getting their hearts right. And they go into the promised land. Moses dies upon the mountain. Joshua takes over. Takes the people in. Helps them conquer the land, most of it. Divides up the land. 12 nations of Israel. Well, this is at the end of his life here. In chapter 23 and chapter 24 of Joshua. In your Bible, the next book is Judges. That's how the people were ruled for a while, by the judges. Then you have the kings that came in and ruled. But under this time, they were ruled by God and the judges. God told Moses, if you do this, I'll bless you. Joshua is telling them the same thing here. Now look in Joshua chapter 23, verse 3. Ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He that hath fought for you. Goes on and down it. Look at verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous, and keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, and ye turn not aside therefore to the right hand or to the left. Stay on the path. Stay close to God. Verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day. Verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, He it is that fighteth for you. The colonies, the British thought they had the victory. They had the battle. They were the organized army. They were the ones. They were the kings. They were the one with the money. They were the one with the weapons. They were one with the soldiers and the ranks and the uniforms and all of that stuff. They were the ones that was going to win because they were the best. But they didn't count on having help from God. And I really believe that God helped these 13 colonies gain the victory. They changed warfare and battle and how things were fought and everything. You read about George Washington and some of those things, some of those great things that happened. How they was freezing and dying and all kinds of things as they fought for their freedom. Look in Joshua chapter 23, verse 15. Therefore it shall come to pass that as the good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until you have destroyed from you all of this, when you destroyed from you all of this good land which the Lord God hath given you. Destroy the evil. Now listen. This good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Verse 16. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord, your God which He commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which He hath given unto you. God fought for them. God gave them this land. And as long as you stay close to God and you follow God and you follow His commandments, then this land will be yours. But when you stop doing that, you shall perish quickly from off the good land which He hath given unto you. Pretty straight. Pretty simple. Pretty straightforward. I don't know where America's headed. I don't know what's going to happen. But I tell you, there are people that are against God in this country. They want in God we trust off the money. They want the Ten Commandments out of... Hey, in Washington, the Ten Commandments are carved into the construction of the buildings. You would have to completely tear down some of these state monuments and the capitals and all these buildings to take God out of it. Look in verse chapter 24, verse 13. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye build not. Ye dwell in them, and the vineyards and the olive yards which ye have planted, now do you eat. Talking about the nation of Israel. Verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him with sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Noah. And in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. God is taking them all the way back to the history of Noah. On the other side of the flood. Why did God destroy the world then? Because of the idolatry and all the things that were happening. He's taking them all the way back to Noah. He's taking them all the way back into Egypt that I took you out of. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You've seen that on plaques and banners and all kinds of things. This is what Joshua was saying. You can do whatever you want to do. You have a freedom that was given from God. You have the right to choose what you want to do. But as for me, Joshua says, and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what the rest of the world does. I don't care what the rest of the nation does. I don't care what happens to the economy. I don't care which way things go. I don't care what happens to the laws of the land. I don't care if it gets illegal to have church and have a Bible or have a gun or whatever. I don't care what happens. I will always serve the Lord. That's what Joshua was saying. He made a determination. That's why God put him in charge after Moses. Because he made... Look at the first chapter of Joshua and see what he pledged. All through his life, he made a decision. God is going to be first in my life and in my home and in my family. God will be first. He goes on how God brought you up out of the land of Egypt and all these things. Look down at verse 19. And Joshua said to the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after they have done you good. Just because it's been going good so far, just because it's been going okay so far, doesn't guarantee that it's always going to be that way. Just because America is the great nation it is, doesn't guarantee it's always going to be that way. And just because God has been blessing your life and because God has been doing things in your life, it doesn't mean that that's a freedom to go do whatever you want to do. Because as soon as you get away from God, hurt. Joshua said, "We will serve the Lord." That's what he said. Look at verse 21. "And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord." Most people say that while they're in church. Verse 22, "And Joshua said to the people, You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you." They still had them in their midst. "And incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Verse 26, "And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord." Verse 27, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto you. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us." This stone has heard the words. "It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God." And Joshua let the people depart, every man into his own inheritance. And down there he died at 110 years old. The hallowed halls of this nation have heard the declarations that were prepared that day for this country. Jesus Christ, the rock, the foundation, has heard your vows and your prayers and your commitments in your personal life as you said, "I will do this in my life. I will do this in my life. I will do this in my life. I am going to do this in my life." He has heard those vows you made. Your own words are a witness against you or for you. Your own words. As are recorded down in the journals of heaven. Your own words declare what you said you would do or not do. And they are a witness against you. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about when you vow a vow, defer not to pay it. Don't let your mouth cause you to sin. It talks about count the cost. If a man's going to go off to war, he sees how many people he's got. And he sees how many the enemy's got. Or if he's going to build a tower, he says, if I have enough to build this tower, before he starts, he counts the cost. We talked this morning about missionaries, how they have to make a decision. They have to make their calling sure before they go off, because if when the times get hard, they'll quit. That applies to anything, not just missionaries. Anything. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We said you have the freedom to make a choice. When you make a choice, you make that choice. But remember, when you make a choice, that's going to determine things for you in the future. Whatever decisions you make will determine your future by the decisions you make today or tomorrow or yesterday or last year or whatever it was. They will determine your future. You need to make sure that it's God's will. And God will never call you, ask you, or challenge you, or tell you to do anything that is contrary to the Word of God. I've heard so many people use so many excuses for the things they're doing because they think they've got to do this, or they think they've got this, or they think they've got that, or whatever. Don't tell them to me. You tell them to God. The churches should be full. I would think especially on Independence Day. They were full for 9/11 for a while. World War I, World War II brought this country together. We've got a greater war going on today. We fight against principalities and power and wickedness and evil in dark places. We fight a spiritual battle. And the battle that we are warring today is for the souls of people. There are souls out there that are in a battle. We have an obligation to take care of them and do our level best. A hero necessarily isn't a brave person. A hero is someone that's doing what's right. What needs to be done. That's a hero. A hero is someone that thinks about the whole and not the individual. A hero is someone that thinks about the cause that needs to be taken care of and be done and be stand behind than some just crazy fool. They talk about the unsung heroes. In Hebrews, it talks about such a cloud of witnesses. That we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that are watching and seeing what you're going to do, if you're going to do it, if you're not going to do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is preaching almost the same type of message to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He is comparing things. He's telling them things. And he's showing them things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither as ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That refers back to when Aaron and the golden calf. Exodus 32. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell one day 23,000. Disobeyed God. Talking about in the wilderness. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and are destroyed of serpents. When he sent the fiery serpents among them because they rebelled against God. Tempt Christ. That's before Jesus was born. Verse 10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and destroyed of the destroyer. Numbers 14. Now all of these happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful and just, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Are we speaking to wise people today? Are you judging and seeing what God says in His Word? 6 months down the road, will you still be serving God? Many years ago, Brother Bob Johnston was teaching in our Bible Institute when he was in stateside. And he said something. How many of you will be here the next time I come back on furlough? And I remember a lady, she'll remain nameless, boasted out and says, I'll be here. Will you be here? She's not there anymore. She fell by the wayside. Sin got her. I sat in a hospital bed by a man one time that had a ruptured intestines or appendix. And he told me, God told me just as plain as day that night before that happened, either you get back or I'm going to put you flat on your back. He was telling me that in the hospital. He's still worn today. And by the grace of God, he's still alive. Some days he's hot, some days he's cold. Wine, women, and song got him. Listen. Make a commitment. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe you move off across to another state or another part of the country. You're still going to be in church. You're still going to be serving God. You're still going to be reading. You're still going to be reading your Bible. You're going to be praying. You're going to be witnessing. You're still going to stand for God. Is He still going to be number one in your life? When people go out of church and they don't get involved in another good, sound church, that tells me something. It says they left because they were not part of us. I don't see things getting better in this world right now. One of the things that hard times do is separate the sheep from the goats. The ones that are really saved and the ones that are just playing. God promises, if you do this, I'll do this. He promises that. He promises that. And God is not a liar. So much is available to God's people. If you'll just do this. You know what's right, and you know what's wrong. God's going to give you that information. God's going to let you know what's right and what's wrong. But as I stated, this country was based on freedom, free will. God gave you free will.
God gave Adam free will. God gave Eve free will. David, Joshua, Jacob. All these greats, Samson, Stephen, Paul, Luke, John, Matthew, Timothy, Bartholomew. All of these great people in the Bible, God gave them a choice. God gave them a choice. God gives you a choice. What are you going to do with it? I'll serve God as long as this happens, or I'll do this as long as this happens, or whatever. So many people tell, well, I'll be there if something else doesn't come up. The microphone. Okay. It's your call. But as always, the first appeal is to make sure that you know you're saved. If you're not saved, you don't have any help. In Romans, it talks about when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. But when you are free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Who do you want to serve? About 19, we had some, I'm this, I'm that, I'm going to do this, I'm on all this kind of things. And then they start realizing there's consequences for all those decisions. Let's stand at our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. I'm not sure how God wants to use this or what He wants to do. But let God talk to you. Let God direct your lives. I want you to have God's blessings in your life. I want God to help you. I want God to give you strength through these times. And I want people to see the power of God in your life. Dear Jesus, we ask that you'll take this time, that you'll take this message, that you'll take these words, that you apply them to our hearts, you apply them to my life, and let me be an everlasting testimony for you until you come. God, let my house always serve you. And if there's one here that's not saved, that today will be their day. We ask this in Jesus' name.